good for all. And surely they wouldn't send a messenger from Stanley Poole to tell you that.
No, says Ward. Troop wanted to know if we have the brass wire for the boiler assembly.
I'm not sure, says Casement.
They already checked and the wire's missing. It was supposed to arrive at Stanley Poole with a bunch of Manyema porters supplied by Tip O'Tib, says Ward.
Tip O'Tib insists that it's either on its way or has arrived and been misplaced, or that maybe the Manyema porters got mixed in with ours.
I think we would have noticed that.
That's what I said.
Anything else?
There's a village less than a half day's march from here.
Ward shifts his weight.
Can I go after that elephant?
Casement thinks.
If you bag it, that's meat for the men, and they could use something better than manioc. What if you go with Mbachi and 8 men to carry the meat in case you're lucky, and I'll pitch camp in another 5 or so miles, which should bring us closer to the village, and you can meet us there?
You could wait for me here.
Mayala Mbemba, says Casement.
What's another 5 miles to you? You who walked 40 miles in 1 day.
They finally find the elephant after trekking close to 6 miles. One of Ward's men, Mboko, an exceptionally tall fellow at 6'4", sights it at good range. Ward, who is on the short side, something that served him well when he was an acrobat in Sydney, can barely see over the top of the long grass, but he's good at balancing. What he would really like to say is, "Mboko, would you mind terribly if I got up on your shoulders?" Instead, he says, "Mboko, I sit on back," and mimes shooting with his rifle. Mboko nods in response. Ward clambers onto Mboko's back and then onto his shoulders, and another man hands him back his rifle. There's the elephant feeding, stripping the bark from a young tree. The elephant is flapping its ears, swinging its tail peacefully. Mboko, aware of the shifting breeze, moves to right and left, anxious to stay downwind. A lone bull elephant is very dangerous, and even if all seems quiet, bucolic, Ward knows that if the elephant picks up their scent, it will attack. He nudges Mboko with his heel, and Mboko edges forward through the grass. Ward has a straight shot to the back of the beast's head. Not the most exciting way to kill an elephant, he thinks. If he gets this shot, he won't be charged, and the brute will most likely die instantly. If he gets this shot, he won't have to track the elephant through the jungle for a day and a night. He's done that before, and there won't be much of a story. If he gets this shot, he'll walk over to see what sort of tusks there are, rather than seeing the tusks come at him. He's witnessed people who have been gored by elephants, although he's never actually seen someone in the process of being gored. He feels Mboko tense up beneath him. They're close now, and Mboko is wondering why he doesn't take the shot. And then the rifle is raised. Ward holds steady and sights, finger exerting an even pressure on the trigger, squeezing calmly. Blam! A perfect hit to the back of the head. The elephant shudders. Reload. Blam! And the elephant falls. After one more shot for a certain death, they cut the thing up and cart what can be carted back to camp. Casement is fiddling with some verse. Yes, fiddling. He looks at the lines. The barren hills of Ulster held a race proscribed and banned, who from their lofty refuge viewed their own so fertile land. It's a bit stiff, but the meter's right. He thinks of Ward's drawings, all Africans, and his poems, all Irish history. Is this what makes them different, that Ward constructs himself out of his own personal history, while Casement's personality demands a further reach? Why write about post-plantation?